We have been skipping quite quickly and with very big jumps through the earliest of our sacred stories this fall. We have been hearing how the holy mystery we call God has spoken in a variety of settings to different people with a consistent message of life, a consistent habit of inviting non-pedigreed people to participate actively, and a consistent call to be active in the world in the peculiar, love-based, life-creating, community-shaping way of God. Our worship has sought to help us recognize the very real presence and call of God in our lives, and to give us courage, hope, resources to respond, to both connect to the wonder and hope of God, and to live differently and actively because of it. Our signpost over here is a visual representation of that. The top sign is Go. And each week, we are adding on the way in which we are sent to go, to create, sacrifice, bless, speak, share, hear. These are the specific kinds of responses to our Community of Hope's mission to go serve God's world. They remind us that the life-giving gifts of God are not offered to us for us to hoard, but to heal us, and then through us, to heal others. Contemplation, reflection, and quiet prayer are a part of Christian practice, but they are not the end point. They shape and prepare us to be in the world like Jesus was in the world. Go into the dark. Go to the hurting. Go to the aching. Go with love. Go to bring life. Go and be a part of God's way of hope and peace. Go individually and go as the church. Go. It's active. It's engaged. Go. Go, each of us, ourselves, and go as a community of hope which exists and can go because caring people pledge and provide financial support for ministry. Go. Engage and respond to the power and grace and light of God. How exciting and life-giving is that? Or how does that make our knees knock? Really, God? You who are the visionary of the stars and the moons, you want to work through me and our community of hope? You are needing us? You want us in your story? How cool is that? But wait, God. You say go. Go into the world with all of its fears, violence, pressures, and competing stories. Go from the safe, supporting spiritual connections with other Jesus followers into the fullness and variety of creation, where friends look askance at us because we go to church, where the market economy doesn't reward gentleness, generosity, and compassion, where the response to struggle is a flex of power, not a vulnerable heart, where scarcity and limits have louder voices than your way of abundance and generosity. Go there, God, really? I read in a devotional this week that political action committees don't tremble in their boots when church folks hold up cardboard signs. So how are we going to do it, God? This big work that you give to us, how do we do it? We do it connected to you, God, filled with your love and hope, Aware of you, God, is how we do it. Finding a way to hear the life-transforming sacred story that is active in our midst, that is real in the midst of the other stories. Tuning our ears to receive the stories of hope and the guidance of the holy, and not let that get drowned out in all the other things that are going on. It takes intention to do that. The familiar sounds and other voices get ingrained, and we lose track of another possibility. That's what happened with Samuel, right? He's a young boy who has been delivered to the temple to serve Eli. Eli may be older and fading physically, but Eli has power and Eli is in charge. So when Samuel hears a voice in the night, he assumes it's the powerful one calling for him. So he immediately runs to Eli. "Here I am. What do you need?" "Nothing," says Eli. "I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." Which Samuel does, until he hears a voice again and goes through the same exchange. And then it happens again. Samuel is awakened in the night, and he hears what he expects to hear. He hears powerful and in control Eli call, even though it wasn't Eli calling. It was God. But Samuel wasn't expecting God or listening for God. And so when he heard God, he just assumed it was Eli. Why wouldn't it be? Eli was there all the time. Eli had many needs. Samuel was used to the ways of Eli and tied in to support of Eli. Samuel was trained to listen for and hear Eli, so much so that he couldn't hear God. Hearing God wasn't a first natural response for Samuel, and I have a hunch it isn't for many of us. We are so inundated with other voices that are loud and influential. They come at us all over the place. The ads for security systems, the lobbing of competing Facebook posts, the person with power declaring their plan, the headline of sexual abuse or racial slur, the wind spreading destruction of fire and flood, the voices of fear, limit, control, scarcity inundate us. It is in this reality that we are invited to go here. Go listen for a different story. Go tune into the grace and love that is all around. Go intentionally seeking out the voice of God. It's there always. But we need to seek it out much the same way we do need to tune to a particular radio station. You can tell I'm old. I tuned with a knob. It's there. But sometimes we need to turn off the TV in order to get that noise out of the way so we can hear a different story. It's there. And it's our work or our opportunity to seek it out, to open our ears to what is life-giving, and to turn the volume down on what is numbing or increasing fear or building walls. This is not a call to denial of the world. It's a call to move in the world that is, and in that reality, be intentional about what we listen to and for, so that we can hear the love that is present, that we hear the voices of hope, that we hear God who is still speaking. So I have a story to share, a story that I heard in the wake of Charlottesville. So many stories of horror and racism that we aren't to ignore. And in that mess, I heard about Daryl Davis. Davis is an African-American jazz musician. And about 30 years ago, he was playing in a club. And a white man started up a conversation with him about music. They chatted for a bit, and then the white man's friend elbowed his buddy and said, "Tell him. Go ahead. Tell this musician that you're in the Ku Klux Klan." So there was 25-year-old black Daryl Davis and a white man 15 years his senior telling him that he was in the Klan. And Davis made a decision in that moment. He stayed in the conversation. He decided that he was going to get to know this racist and he was going to enable the Klan member to get to know him. He decided that they would listen to each other, and so they talked. They got to know each other. They asked questions about each other. They had dialogue. 5 months later, the man quit the Ku Klux Klan, and he turned his robe over to Davis. And from that experience, Davis began actively to go here, to hear the stories and connect with members of the Ku Klux Klan. He now has 200 robes that have been given to him. 200 men have left the Klan, following Davis, hearing them, and them hearing Davis. There are so many voices clamoring for our attention. In the cacophony is the voice of life that God speaks in 1,000 tongues, in a host of languages, from so many different places and so many different people. It's there to heal, hold, transform. Go. Hear. Amen.